Better take it back from an adult. Second Timothy 2:15. Where do you go? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we've explained in many of our teachings, dialect of the prophet, and some others, how that when you say study to show yourself approved, approved not be unto God, right? It will be unto who? Unto men, is exactly, because you are actually approved of God in the first place. So study to show yourself approved of God, right? We look at that word unto. He said, study to yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Alright, so he said, rightly dividing word of truth. Rightly dividing is the major text in that verse. And we look at that word rightly dividing, and many people have thought that it means to quote. No, it's only just quoting Bible. See, that guy. You can rightly divide. Oftentimes, what happens when someone is quoting? Sometimes, quoting too much can be a proof that you're not rightly dividing. You know, some folks, when you want to probably teach prayer or faith, what they just do is get the concordance. There's nothing wrong with concordance. I don't use concordance, but there's nothing wrong with concordance. Just get the concordance and look for everywhere that faith is mentioned. I maybe I've done that before. They ask you to come and see something, just concordance. Unicorn, faith, unicorn, faith, unicorn, faith. So everywhere faith is mentioned, and you just start quoting. Wow! And you say, yeah, a reward. Yeah. This guy is deep. He's water. You know, whatever. That's not rightly dividing. That one is rightly going through everything. Or wrongly going through. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing is actually from two words. It's the word autotomeo, you know that. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. It's from two words in the Greek. It's a combination of two words. Otos and temno. Otos is spelled O-R-T-H-O-S. Otos is what you use for straight. When something is straight. Again, it's the word that was used for when Jesus healed that woman with a bent back. Right? Eh? And then she made her upright. That's the word otos. Made her straight. That makes sense? And so, it's used for when something is upright, when something is standing well, when something is proper, proper way of doing something. Again, temnon means to cut. To cut. So, if you are going to join the two words together, autotomio, which is the word rightly dividing, would be what? To cut properly, or to cut straight. To cut properly, to make something upright. And so, Paul is telling Timothy, who is a pastor, and he says, study. Again, we look at that word study. Does it mean to research? Huh? It means to what? To be diligent, to be eager about something. No, that means if there's an instruction to a man of God, it ought to be diligence. Diligence. And so rightly dividing the word of truth has to do with explaining properly. It has to do with taking time, the diligence in explanation. So it says, be diligent, study. That's the word. Sporadio in the Greek. S-P-O-D-A-Z-O. Be diligent to show yourself approved of God to men, a workman. Someone who is working. It's the same word used in 1 Timothy 5:17. A laborer is worthy of his wages. 1 Timothy 5:17. A laborer. So, the preacher of God's word ought to be a laborer. Again, when we say preacher of God's word, is that the pastor alone? Eh? Come on, is that the pastor alone? Uh-huh. The preacher of God's word ought to be every believer. Because every believer was given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To which God was in Christ. Reconciled the word of himself. He has not imputed his sin against them. But has given to us the word, the ministry of reconciliation. Say, I have. Come on, I didn't hear that very well. I have the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, you do, you have. And so, when we say the man of God ought to be to rightly divide, he ought to be diligent. And that means there's no Bible matter, no matter how small or how big, that deserves to be put aside. You have to rightly divide it. What's the rightly dividing again? To proper, right? To put it in the proper light. You cannot afford that something just be dealt with lackadaisically. You know, some Christians are carefree. And so that took us to the issue of baptism. And we have been looking at it. We've seen that Jesus never asked anyone. Again,
Many have thought that when you touch things like this, you are trying to cause a division in the body of Christ. Nobody has that kind of time. I don't have that kind of time. 99.9 of the body of Christ does not even know me. So how can I cause division? Oh, you don't know. You don't know today now. I have known now. But I see Christians, they like, the church will not survive without them. 99.99 of Christians around the world don't know you. Just do your part and go. Hallelujah. Hey, calm down. Calm down for yourself. Oh, without your gift, God, they don't know you. How did I get there? They think when you pick up topics like this, they probably think you just want to say something different. You just want to be different. You know, how can I just say I just want to be different? And I'm not the only one saying this. Anybody who reads the Bible properly should be saying the same thing. You think? Again, the fact that something has been around for long does not make it true. Doesn't make it true. You know how long Islam has been? Or how long people have been practicing juju? Voodoo. It's been very long. Doesn't make it the right thing. Doesn't make it true. Sin has been around for as long as it down. And that doesn't make it God. And so, you have the right, and you have the duty to rightly divide. Tell me about rightly divide. So you rightly divide the word of truth. You rightly divide it. And so, we got the issue of baptism. And first thing we said is that baptism does not have a generic usage. You can't box baptism into water. And that's where the error starts to creep in from. The moment you think when baptism is mentioned, water has to follow or water has to come before it, that's where your theology starts to go wrong. And if your theology is wrong, your approach and application will be wrong. Again, baptism was used for many things in the Bible. We saw that in the book of Matthew alone, we saw baptism with water, right? We saw baptism with fire. We saw baptism with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water. Just in Matthew 3:11. But there's someone that's coming after me. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, again, there can be baptism with water, there can be baptism with fire, there can be baptism with the Holy Ghost. And so, you need to ask yourself, what kind of baptism? So, when someone asks, are you baptized? The question, the proper response ought to be, with what? What is it? So, the proper response ought to be, with what? Are you baptized? With what? Or you say, yes, I am. Just to stop the argument. Are you baptized? Ah, very well. So, hey, where? In church. Or in this earth. Hey, in this earth. Where in this earth? Nigeria. Hey, wow, where's the river? In Christ. Alright? So the question, how many can see what I'm just saying now? Is that the proper answer ought to be with what, right? Because baptism has no, again, it was even used for dead bodies. The washing of dead bodies, diverse washings. When Paul said diverse washings, Colossians 2. Actually, the word washings, there's the word baptisms. Diverse baptisms. Hallelujah. Again, you have already said baptism is in the law. It's in the law. It's Old Testament. It's not even Old Testament. I mean, Old Testament writings now. Because there's no one that did baptize with water till who? Till who? John. John was the first person that did it. And so, you have to look at John. Why did John baptize? Again, his baptism is called the baptism of repentance. The baptism of repentance. Repentance is the word metanoia in the Greek. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. From two words, meta and nous. I think I explained that last week. Right? Baptism of repentance. The baptism that turns your mind away from something else. So it turns your mind away from something to something else. Again, what do you think the baptism of John was turning their mind away from? From the washing of the feet of the flesh, from their sin. These are some simple answers. You know it, you just say it. The idea of goodness. Eh? All right. Again, John's baptism was turning them from sin to the one that would take care of sin. And so he now used water. As an, we saw it. What was that? Anti-tupon, right? 1 Peter 3:21 last week. Anti-tupon, a figure. When Peter said, "To which baptism also now saves us," right? a figure, right? Come on, we saw that last week, right? Antitopon, remember? An example, when I used the check, they will give the person winner, and I say, you won 1 million check. And they will carry it and it will snap. If they give that card and say, you have 1 million check, and after the 1 million picture, they say, they're going home. You're going home with the card. What will you say? Okay, come now. MTN, come. We have given you the 1 million, we have snap. Which 1 million? Card. Give me the thing. Hallelujah. Because whatever card they gave to you was an answer to pawn. Because they know that you cannot do 1 million and be snapping with it, right? So they will give you a card to show that, okay, you actually have it. Does that make sense? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is also not physical. John will now bring water and show them what it will do. That is, the way this water will wash away your body. We wash away the debts in your body. That's what the Spirit of God will do for your heart. It's actually quite simple. So, it's called an antitopon, a figure. What water will do to the body, the Spirit of God will do to the heart. And so, we also saw that Peter now gave a response to the leaders of the church in Acts 15, where he mentioned a zugos, and he said, you don't lay a yoke. Acts 15, Abby, verse 10. Remember last week? That you don't put a yoke on the neck of the disciples. And he was talking about circumcision, right? And we said by implication, he'll be talking about what? Every other thing that not work of the law. We said mention something. Every other thing that you want to add plus faith in Christ. Said that last week. That Peter's argument in Acts 15 will be faith in Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. Go to Acts 15, let's see. Again, rather dividing us to do it, looking through. In this situation, we'll be able to look at the Old Testament, right? For the word baptism, right? And so that there's no account in the Old Testament that records that people are being baptized for salvation. The closest you probably have is Acts 15 either. But you probably have is Naaman, the general. And his baptism was for healing. And it was not even baptism because nobody was there. It was the one burying himself. Right? Elisha just said, go and dip yourself 7 times. That was it. Acts 15. Again, the background of this was that the Gentiles got saved by Peter in Acts 10, by Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas were full of joy. They said, people have gotten saved. They are not even Jews. They are no glory to God and all and all. And they came to the church. And they said, you got saved. You got saved. Only God knows who are getting saved these days. Have you ever heard? No, because of this generation, I think it was faith I was talking to. Many people assume that once it's a young minister or a young pastor, they believe that there's nothing that what they are doing that is right. But the question is, did you bother to find out what they are doing? You just assume because your own GO has gray hair, he's speaking the truth. Gray hair is the truth. No, because he has gray hair experience. Sorry, I want to ask a question. How old was Jesus? Say it now. No man. 33. So if Jesus, that means if some people were in Jesus' time, you will not go to Jesus' meeting because he's a young man. He's just 33 years old. I should call him Lord. When he was in primary school, that was when I was finishing my PhD. Belew. Now that you are done. Come and call him Lord. Hallelujah. You don't even bother to find out. Because you have a very, very biased opinion. What led me to this? There was something like that. Alright, so, again. So, Paul and Barnabas, they got someone said, and the elder said, the youth you are getting someone said, well, they are Gentiles. You need to accept the message. Are they circumcised? And I trust Paul. He must have been vexed at that point. What is this one saying? But Peter now stood up. Thank God for Peter. He's the bridge between Paul. Because if he left to Paul, they are in trouble. Remember what he did in Acts 13? When they asked that, is there someone that wants to talk? You know that teaching? They are asking Paul. Paul is in your presence. You are saying, any addition? There will be addition. And he took the mic. And he talked. He talked from verse 6 to like verse 40 something. And he was talking about Old Testament. So, trusting Paul, they gave Paul the mic in this Acts 15. Probably have more details. But Peter stood up. And Peter said, you know that God by my mouth, verse 7. Can we read together? I want to go. And when there had been much disputing, there was much argument. Why would they be circumcised? Why should they not be circumcised? Why is it? Again, was the issue circumcision, the removal of the flesh? Eh? What was the issue? Faith in Christ plus something. And that's the issue with water baptism. People don't have an issue with water baptism than the fact that they say you must believe the gospel and also be baptized with water. And I said, I have no issue with what you do with water. I have no issue with that. How can I have an issue that you are pouring water or you are dipping yourself in that water and coming out in the name of God? I don't care. But you know the issue. You know the issue. The issue is when you say someone is not saved because he's not dipping water. That's the real issue. And so the issue will be faith in Christ plus something else. What the Bible teaches that gets saved is faith in Christ alone. Romans 10, 9 to 10. Romans 4, 25. Ephesians 2, 8. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace, through faith. It's not of works. It's not of works. In Romans 4, Paul's teaching that he said, Abraham, was Abraham saved by works? He said it's by works. Then what did God do? What did God do? In Galatians 3, verse 21. Galatians 2, rather. Verse 21. After Paul said, in verse 20, the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me. I said, if righteousness came by the works of the law, he said, Christ died in vain. Galatians 2:21. And so, faith is, righteousness is by faith, right? In Christ. Alone. And so, the issue in Acts 15 is much more than circumcision. It's much more than removal of the flesh. It has now come into every other thing that you have to do. The moment they accept circumcision for these guys, they're going to bring in another thing. They're going to bring in probably the issue of the Passover. They're going to bring in the issue of baptisms. They're going to bring in, what about the law of Moses? Again, when we say law of Moses, I believe by now, your mind should be burdened, right? That's about 85 texts. Alright. So, Acts 15. Let's have verse 7. After much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us, that the Gentile, by now should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bear them witness, having given them what? The Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Verse 9, verse 9 to 10 together. Purifying, and we looked at what purifying last week. Catarizo, Abi. We looked at that last week. Alright, we looked at what purifying, catarizo, which means to cleanse, right? Come on, we looked at that last week. Alright, to cleanse. So he said, God cleansed their hearts. Actually, it has in its roots to wash with water. What you use water to clean. And so it says, God has washed their hearts. He says, a good while ago, you know that the Gentiles by my mouth, they ate the gospel. And God did not put a difference between us and them by giving them the Holy Ghost. Put that in mind. Number one, he gave them the Holy Ghost, right? How did he give them the Holy Ghost? When they believed, right? Now it says, he also what? Cleansed. He purified their hearts. Catharizo. Again, what purified your heart? The Spirit by faith. Verse 9. So, in purifying their heart by faith. So, how does a man get baptized? By faith. Why do you do it? The Spirit. Does that make sense? So, there will be two kinds of baptism. There will be the one that will work on the heart of man. I mean, his innermost being. And there will be a kind of baptism that just works on his body. And so, Peter is describing something here. He's describing a kind of, as he says, God cleansed their hearts. Their hearts by faith. Now, in verse 10, want to go? Now, therefore, why are you tempting God? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which are fathers. Now, we are able to, again, that can be talking about, can you say that you are supposed to have circumcision? Is it a yoke? What is that yoke? Something plus Christ. People see, like I said last week, it can run as deep as saying tongues. Some people preach Christ plus tongues. They say, if you are not speaking in tongues, you are not born again. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Say, if you can't speak in tongues, you are not born again. So I told them, that I don't want to speak. Because, yeah.
speak in tongues, yeah?
What am I saying?
Tongues is not the proof that you're born again. In fact, working miracles, raising the dead is not the proof. Let me say it again. Let me say it properly. Raising the dead.
I mean, you raise the dead in Jesus' name is not the proof that you're born again. Judas did that too now.
Yes. Iscariot. I believe that there was another Judas as one of the disciples of Jesus. There was a second Judas. I believe that one will be introducing himself everywhere he goes. He said, my name is Judas. Not Iscariot, oh, not Iscariot. Judas. Simon. You are son of Simon, not Iscariot. Hey, Judas, you. No, not me. It was not me. That one is dead. Hallelujah.
And so, it says, God did not put a difference. So, what cleanses the heart of a man is faith in Christ. Can a man believe the gospel? Wait, if a man believes the gospel and is not baptized with water, does he have eternal life? Eh? What if a man is baptized in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, like many people do, which is just a single mention? In the entire Bible, that has a single mention. And if you're a true Bible student and a studious one, you will know that when something has a single mention, what do you do? Eh? Eh? You don't build a doctrine on a single mention. That's carelessness. You don't build a doctrine on a single mention. You build doctrine on emphatic mentions. Or double mentions.
In the leading of the Spirit.
It's from Moses. Moses said it in Deuteronomy 17, I think verse 6, if I'm right. Out of the matter of two or more witness, the truth will be established. Jesus quoted the same thing in Matthew 18. If a brother trespass against you, you go to him. If he doesn't hear you, you pick two or three, right? Because out of the matter of two or more witnesses, the truth will be established. It's a biblical principle. You don't pick a doctrine of a single mention. Paul told the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he said, I have come to you in the first, come to the second time. This is the third time. Is that clear? And so, when he said, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the only reference you can have is Matthew 28, 19. Teaching every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. After that, there was no other mention. When he mentioned baptized in Mark 16, look at Mark 16, let's look at Mark 16. What is the name of the Father? That's the question. And when people say, when it's a name, the first thing you're looking at is the alphabet. Jehovah, that's the name of the Father. Jehovah Magini. See, I don't know about your own God, but my own God is Jehovah Rapha. There's a Daniel with Sabine Gogo. Dun dun dun. Rosh. Dun dun. Shama. Dun dun. Shama. Shama. Jehovah Shama. We give you. Dun 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 dun. Dun dun dun. That's the name of the Father. Oh yeah, the name of the Son. Emmanuel. He's still God with us. When he said, he's with you, but he will be. Eh? But to you, he's still Emmanuel. Sorry, your name is Emmanuel. He's no more Emmanuel. Your name is Pastor. He's with us, hallelujah. And in us. That's the most, oh yeah, name of the Holy Ghost. But what? Spirit of truth. Eh? Comforter! That's the name of the font. And there is a font called Comforter. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? It's an angel of his presence. Some of you are listening to that, one of the most work at that you're hearing all this kind of thing. Which angel of his presence? If you're going to actually touch it with eyes of it, someone that has brain, it's Gabriel. The Holy Ghost is not the angel of his presence. He's not an angel. He said, he's with you. He will come to you. I will come to you. I will. John 14, 18. I will. That's Jesus talking. I. So how did he become an angel? Then you are not a good student of the Bible. In Hebrews 1, you know where he started from. He started by distinguishing. He said, which of the angels has he said at any time? Sit at my right hand. And he's quoting David, Samaria 10. So Jesus is well distinguished from the angels. The Comforter is not an angel. And so, we need to go back to your name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That will not be a proper way to ascertain doctrine. Again, a doctrine cannot come out of a single mention. It's prone to error. It's the same way some people build doctrines on the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you want to start doing miracle money in your church. A minister will be careful about the way he even demonstrates the Spirit. Some people, the only one they want to demonstrate the Spirit is to show that God is in this church.
will show you. And so every service, the pastor is giving tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Oh, there are two people here. Just to show. There are no two people. There are many people. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are plenty. He built doctrine on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now, everybody is expecting miracle money. This time around, not in the mouth of fish, in your bank account. And when people will give 10 of the testimony, they give $10. That miracle money. You say you saw $1 million now, and see how that miracle will be reversed. Let $1 million come to your account by miracle. And see if the bank will not call you. To tell you that you are not the owner of the money. $10, the bank, the cashier will use his money to pay it. He will say it's his own mistake. Abi? He will say it's his own mistake. Half of where I read, let $1 million, 100K. Let's give you 100K. Let 100K enter your account. And see if the bank will not remove it. Just in the basa of your miracle. You don't build a doctrine on a single mention. Jesus never asked anyone to walk on water. Can I walk on water? Yes, if the chance comes. But you don't see every water and say you want to walk on it. Young third miller, you left the car. You jump beside a river. Adieu. You know we lie. What do you want? You said you just want to be. I want to be like Jesus. So look, because of that, you don't let Uber. You don't jump inside third miller. Inside the river. They want to walk on water. Happy walking. See you on the other side. You don't build a doctrine on that single mention. What it will do is to instruct you on the supernatural. He's not telling you to walk on water every time you see water. Jesus himself, after that time, did he not walk on water again? The next thing we saw was that he was sleeping in the boat. He used boat. He was sleeping in the boat. That's to even wake him up. Single mentions don't build doctrine. It's the principle of the Bible that out of the mouth of 2 or 3, the truth will be established. Even in prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:27, Paul said, if a man will speak with tongues and interpret, say, let it be by 2 or 3. Right? By 2 or 3. Well, of course, we're talking about the gifts. And so, doctrines are not built on single mentions. Look at the incarnation of Jesus. You know how many mentions? Zechariah testified to it. Mary testified to it. Elizabeth testified to it, right? Joseph had a dream. Had angelic appearances, right? Come on. The wise men. Are you can say 5? Simeon the prophet. Anna the prophetess. And many prophets in the Old Testament. You can't build a doctrine. That's what God is doing, you know. And he has to use many mentions to confirm the truth. Again, you won't build a doctrine if it's God that's doing it on a single mention. And so, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost will not be proper. Everything Jesus did, Colossians 1 now says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Jesus, in Christ. What we have is the name of Jesus. Philippians 2. He has given him a name above every other, that in the name of Jesus, and that is not talking about J-E-S-U-S that used to cut cake. Give me a J, 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 give me a E, give me a S, give me a U, give me another S, call it together, Jesus. Give me a J. That's not the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thought that's in the book of John, right? The name has to do with authority. What he did. He said, I will ask the Father in my name. Shall you cast out devils in my name? That is, in what I have accomplished. The name is used for the authority you have, the authority you wield, the position you are. It's not, so if they say, I am come in the king's name. Probably, the governor sends you a name and say, I am come in the name of the governor. No, you don't, it doesn't mean, you don't start spelling, what's the name of the governor of Lagos State? Eh? Don't say Tinubu. So, how can I forget posters? I'm going to name of the governor. S-A-N. You know what you say, right? No. I'm going to name of the governor. S-A-N-W-O. You believe that? Just saying, I am coming name of the governor. Show us an ID. Show us a letter, right? That's the name. It's the authority.
He's not talking about the alphabet. So when he says the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he's not about calling it. Again, the name of the Father, the authority of the Father is in the Son. And so, when we teach the name, we need to look at the authority. Who did the work? Jesus. What is his work? The Spirit in you. That makes sense? Who did the work? Jesus. What is his work? The Spirit in you. The indwelling of the Spirit is that work. So when it says, baptizing them in the name. I believe that's a very bad translation from those who wrote King James. Or those who translated it first. Because every other synoptic, listen very well, synoptic would be what? Mark and Luke, right? Every other synoptic apart from Matthew. John is not a synoptic, we've explained that in the book of John. And even John never mentioned the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How many of you remember? How many of you can attest to that? He never mentioned Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Only Matthew did. I believe probably it's just a translation issue. And even that, you can't build a doctrine from a single mention. The name of Jesus is what the believer has. And so, when it says, baptize them in the name, we can stop the action. Baptizing them in the name. So what would you mean to baptize in the name? Because I've told you that to explain that you have to take water off your head. He didn't mention water, he said baptize in what? Everywhere baptism by water was implied, water was mentioned. The eunuch in Acts 8, he told Philip, he said, there's water here, what is stopping you from being baptized? Come on. Of course, there are some places that water baptism was inferred and wasn't mentioned. Or to be glaring. Not like Jesus talking here. Jesus said, baptizing them what? In what? Water? Eh? You baptize them in what? In what? In the name. In my work. Where did this start from? Matthew 28. In verse 18, he said, came and spoke unto them and said, all authority. Authority, exousia. If you listen to that, Adventures of the Soul Winner, series 2, we explain the word of, we explain Matthew 28, 18 to 19 pretty well. Exousia has to do with the kingdom, right? Right? Has to do with the kingdom. Remember that decision? Where went to Daniel? Daniel 12? Alright. Exousia has to do with the kingdom. So it says, all authority. So it's talking about the kingdom. All power has been given to me. It says, in heaven and in the earth. We've explained that to you before, right? Okay. That doesn't mean in the sky. And it says, go ye therefore, that is because of this authority, you will now go therefore and disciple, that's what teach there, verse 19, so it says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, then because of this authority, you will go and disciple, you will teach all nations, that says, baptizing them in the name. So, what will it mean? Baptizing them in the name will be what? Huh? Getting men saved. That makes sense. Getting men saved. It's like saying, immerse men in my work. What is his work? Salvation. Thank you very much. Salvation. So it says, go into the world and immerse men in my work. Let them be identified with my work. That's baptism. Baptism. To immerse. To identify with someone. Jesus says, baptizing them in my name. The issue has always been the name. We think the name is, you now put the person in water. Brrr, the name of the Father. Brrr, like Jesus rose from the dead 3 times. It's an outward demonstration of the resurrection. Is it 3 times that he resurrected? Oh yeah, put the person in that water now. Name of the Father. This one. And then he's here. You know, Pastor. Pastor, you go see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So baptizing them in the name is baptizing them in his work. The work of redemption. You observe that the way the other writers that gave, that attested to this, look at the way they presented it. Mark 16. And so nobody has an issue with baptism. Nobody even has an issue with sprinkling of water. There's no issue with that. The issue is with saying that salvation is coming through that. That's a lie. Water is water. The Spirit is Spirit. Water is not the Spirit. What you can see cannot be called Spirit again. The moment you can see it, it can't be called Spirit again. Spirit meets on sin. Heaven is the word Eporanos.
or heavenly rather. Heaven is Uranus. What cannot be seen? O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. What cannot be seen? Look at Mark 16. Corroborative account of Matthew 28:19. What do you mean by corroborative? He spoke the same thing. That makes sense. So we are using this one to just look at it. It's the same conversation. They are not writing it. There are different terms. There are different vocabularies. Mark 16. In verse 15. In verse 14, he upbraided them for their unbelief. In verse 15, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is what? Sorry, would that be two things or one thing? For maturity. We said maturity will be, the baptism will be baptized them into what? In the name, right? To baptize them into what he has done, right? So, whichever believes and is baptized, would that be that they believe in his baptism? But how am I getting to what he has done? By faith. Right? I have to believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, but his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. So how do you partake of eternal life? Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the gateway to everlasting life is faith in Christ. Faith in what he has done. So if I have faith in what he has done, would that be baptism in the name? Eh? Come on, would that be baptism in the name? Yes. What did he do? He died for sin and he rose for justification. Of course, he is ascended into the heart of every man that believes in him. We have taught that again in the book of John. Yeah, this book of John. That's why I feel better, right? Hallelujah. So, baptize in the name is clearer now. Come on, is it clearer? It will be to believe in the gospel. That's how you partake in his work. His name is his authority based on what he has done. So look at what Mark says. That says, whosoever believes is baptized. Or whosoever believes and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. All over the scriptures, whenever you see salvation, do you always see baptism by water? In Romans, do you see baptism by water? Romans 10. Let's go to Romans 10. Verse 8. We're going back to Mark 16. Romans 10. Which is Moses' teaching really? Verse 10, verse 9. If thou will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart and be baptized, is that what is there? Eh? Come on, is that what is there? If thou shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from what? From the dead, you will be what? So, can I say, by believing in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm baptized into his word. Eh? Is that a baptism in the name? Eh? Thank you. That's a baptism in the name. So, if you go back to Mark 16, that says, whosoever believes, verse 16, and is baptized, that will be the same thing. And in Bible, sometimes does not mean is putting two things together. I've explained that over and over again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God is not two different things. And the sweet, that is a bitter fellowship of the Spirit. And the sweet fellowship, the fellowship, you know, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forevermore. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. I think you are mentioning three things. If you are not careful, we will bring that drama from that. If some of you have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but you lack the fellowship of the Spirit. Some of you, what you have is the love of God. Remember, I did. And people start saying, Kalabush, Kalabush. See, you not put your hands on your head. You will shout, my father, my father. And Jesus will say, my father, my father. My father, my father. Put on me the fellowship of the Spirit. Put on me. Put. Mama, put. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is actually called. How did Paul teach this scenario? In that same book, where he said it. How did he teach the grace? That's the first question. How did Paul teach the grace of God? To the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 8. He taught it as given. He said, let this grace abound in you. He was talking about the church in Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8. He was talking about the church in Macedonia. And he says,
even in their poverty. Right? He now calls that, see, is that not likened to the grace of God? He now says, let this grace also abound in you. So what is the grace of God? The giving of God. In John 1, verse 14, John said the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of what? Grace and truth. That says, we have received of his fullness. What? Grace for grace. So, his grace is that we received. His grace is a giving. His gifts. His gift is called the grace. So, we have received his gift. And what is the gift of God? John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, I gave his son. Sorry, have you explained giving his son? Is that incarnation? Eh? Is that incarnation? What is the giving of the son? The sacrifice. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gave his son. So when you say he gave his son, can we say that's also the work? Eh? Can we say that's also the name? And yeah, in that giving is the name? Come on. In that giving is the authority? In that giving is the grace? So, can we call the grace of God the love of God? Eh? So we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? The giving is life. That is the giving. And that's the love of God. So he's not teaching three things. And by that giving is where we have the fellowship of the Spirit, right? Remember we said, it's actually the Spirit in you, right? And so, when it says, whosoever believes, Mark 16:16, whosoever believes and is baptized, don't look at two things. He never mentioned water. How will you know that he mentioned water? Look at what he said after. And that says, whosoever believes and is baptized, he said, whosoever believes not, is damned. Did he mention baptism again? No. Whosoever believes not. Again, because by not believing, you are not saved. You are not immersed in his work. It's just as simple as that. So, whosoever believes is baptized. That makes sense. Whosoever believes not is not baptized. It's just as simple as that. I said, what if I have been sprinkled water? Or I have been immersed in Jordan? Or I have been immersed in Ele River? Ele River? Nibadon. He said, am I not still saved? Oga, when you go there, have you believed the gospel? No. Wrong. Go and quickly believe that one. Let's now talk. All those doctrinal wala can end, but go and believe first. Hallelujah. Verse 17, Mark 16, 17 says, and these signs shall follow those who what? Can you answer that? He has taken a baptism from the talk. What you now see consistently is what? Believe. Whosoever believes not, these signs shall follow those who believe. Just the same way he did in John 3, when he was saying to Nicodemus, I said, the man born of water and of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he just removed water and he started talking about spirit. Does it make sense? Because he has just used that to explain it in the first place. The main issue was the spirit. Yeah, the main issue is to believe. Hallelujah. I think we entered more details today. And so, we are seeing a cooperative account. You have to believe. It's not about water. And so, many who have read Matthew 28:19 wrongly. And says, you teach all nations, whosoever believes and is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that will be water baptism, and then you have to still be saved and all. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, faith in Christ alone. And yet we still sing that song, in Christ alone. Let that be put in. In Christ alone, plus water. My hope is found plus water. It's not even it. Or plus cracker. It is my life. Plus this time. This cornerstone and water. Don't put that water. Don't put that as a deep. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ alone saved me. Hallelujah. Like Peter said in Acts 15, verse 9. He says, God purified their hearts. By what? By faith. Look at Luke's account in Luke 24. Learning something? Just close on this for this year. Not saying Luke is the last one I want to open. Luke 24. The same account of Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-20 is Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled that are written in the book of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then then opened he their understanding that he might understand the scripture. And he said to them, it is written, the oath has to suffer and to rise from the dead, he thought. And that what? Repentance and what? Remission of sins should be what? Preached. That means your message will be remission of sin. He said that people should remit their own sin. Eh, your own message is that sin has been remitted. For everyone who accept it. Remission of sin is that message. It says repentance, that is a change of heart, right? We've explained that a turnaround in your thinking will be preached. So your preaching will inspire people to turn their hearts to God. Why will they turn their hearts to God? They will see remission of sins. It says we will preach in his name. Come on. Right? Come on. We will preach in his name. In his what? We will say the name, right? Huh? In his what? Authority in his work, right? What would that be? So, salvation, the authority, the work is what? Eh? Is accomplished, sir. Ah. What is the work? His death, his burial, and the resurrection, right? So it says, repentance and remission will be preached that it is where? In his name. That makes sense? So, repentance is in his name. I mean, remission of sins is in his name. You repent to see that. That makes sense? So, a man turns his mind around to see that remission of sin is in his name. We've explained the name. In his work. In what he did. And so, repentance will be to see what? To see sins forgiven in Christ. That makes sense? That makes sense? That's repentance. True repentance is to see sins forgiven. Repentance is not that you are now rolling on the floor. Because I want to last speaker. Good morning. You think about the house now? Keep on the world of things. Keep on. Family, yeah. Have you understand? You know, keep on wearing things. Keep on family, yes. God is seeing you or something and he will judge you. Okay, so. The last. Oh my God. Oh, it's so beautiful as you do. I come to you with peace of God. You know that? He's not with peace. He came with you. That brother, you are. Now, there's nothing wrong with those doing that. In fact, if you have not done it before, you should look at your salvation very well. Yes, I know many of you have not. Why are you a Christian that has never carried megaphone before? Why? You have never carried megaphone. You have not gone on streets before. On the street and people are seeing you preach. I have only a much. Sit down. Go and do it. Is that clear? Find megaphone. And preach. Even not for anything. For the sake that you have done it. Preach. Is that clear? Doesn't cost anything. Hallelujah. Let's say, repent! And what you're saying is, be sober. Your soberness cannot save you. You will not cry from now to tomorrow. Only the blood saves. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And someone has done that. The shedding of blood is not what happened at Calvary. Shedding of blood happened when he even rose from the dead. You've explained that before, right? Huh? Uh-huh. He didn't shed the blood. That's the Calvary is not where he shed the blood. He's not at the cross. Yeah. Stay there. He's no longer on the cross. The shedding of blood was even when he now rose up. And that was when the blood was shed. I think we taught that in salvation through faith. So it's one of the two. Find out. And so, see what Luke preached. Did you hear baptism here again? The baptism in Luke? Eh? Why? Eh? Because the moment you see the remission of sin, that is the baptism. It needs not mention that you will be immersed again. Does that make sense? It needs not mention it again. We can say probably the reason why Matthew would probably have put it. I don't know if you understand now. Who are his audience? We did that in this book, study of Book of John. Jews. See what it says? What about Mark? Who are his audience? Eh? Jews too now in Rome. Jews in Rome. But Luke's audience was already a believer. Theophilus. And so, there will be no need to mention baptism again. Is it making sense? You should need to go and listen to the Book of John. The Gospel according to John. Exactly. Probably get a whole lot of insight concerning the four Gospels. We should do the synoptics very soon. So, we just take it together. Hallelujah. And so, again, what will be saved? What will save the man? Will it be baptism
and remission. Eh? What will save a man? Eh? Faith in Christ, which is what? Repentance to see remission of sins in his name. Hallelujah. Alright, so we've seen that. So that what saves is actually not water. What saves is faith in Christ. Peter said he has purified, Acts 15:9. He purified their hearts by faith. So what washes the heart of a man is the Spirit. Don't forget John's disclaimer. The owner of baptism by water himself. He told you. He said, I am baptizing with water. He said, there's someone coming after me. He's greater than I. He will baptize you with what? The Spirit. With the Holy Ghost and with fire. When Jesus is going to quote that in Acts 1:5, he said, not many days from now, you will be baptized with what? With the Spirit. With the Holy Ghost. And so, John baptized with what? Water. The greater one. Jesus baptizes with what? The Spirit. You have to choose. Your name cannot be John Jesus. You will side with, you have to pitch your tent wisely. Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. With the Spirit. That will be a function of believing in the gospel, right? Come on. That'll be a function of believing in the gospel. See, let me say this. The Word of God. The Word of God is more powerful than any activity in the natural. Whether you like, you should be baptized every day. Tukulum, tukulum, tukulum. You are baptized every day. And what else again? You are eating the body. I've asked the question. How many times do you have to eat it for you to finish the body? Someone asked that question. Like, he said, I'm tired of this all Sunday. I'm eating the body. I'm eating the body. Give me. I want to finish it once now. So I want to finish the body of Christ today. All the ones that is my own portion in the body, give it to me. Very crazy guy. I'm tired of coming to church and every time I'm eating. You like eating that one every day. Okay? Boss, that's what it means. What saves is what? Believing in the message of the gospel. What he actually did. Jesus never instructed that anybody be baptized with water. I'm saying this again. He never said it. He himself never baptized anybody with water. So the question is, where did you get it from? Tradition. Improper rightly dividing. Abi? Eh? Or rightly multiplying. Improper study of the scriptures. And that's where we started from, Abi. When you're not diligent to see properly, you will choose baptism of water and you'll be running with it. And it has been passed from generation to generation without anybody checking the truth. It's the same. It's the same as the feet washing. People just took it and started teaching it. No proper reading. Nobody even took it. Why did he wash it? Was it Jesus that started it? No. Since Genesis, Abraham did it. So it can't be doctrine, it can't be. You know what I'm saying? So like Passover. Jesus is not the first person that will break bread and take the wine. His great grandfather was not even the first person. I mean, this thing started Exodus 12. So if I go through the scripture, what you ought to do is go to the beginning. Go and study. Then why was his own different? What was he saying? Is it making sense? What was he saying? How can someone sit on the table and he gives you something and he says, this is my body, and you're looking at him? It shows that he's teaching them something and you understood. Hallelujah. It's the same thing with tithing. We never just checked. You don't take that in your church. I say yes. Say you are depriving the people of the blessings of God. Your family that is deprived of this. I said, is not younger than you can see it. He was younger. Your family. All your friends. And I don't be a friend of a stupid person. They are deprived of the blessing of God. What kind of blessing comes with Naira? He said, the windows of heaven are shut against your members. Is it shut against you? Rain still fell on me. Oh, what day? I was so. That window of heaven. I was so. I said, the canker has been destroyed. Then we go enter your house to show that you are well blessed. And Malachi said, so that the window will even open. That's talking about rain or rainfall. Mm-hmm. In case you don't know before, it's rainfall. And the devourer is farm insects. Insects that eat your crops. Voila. You just need to beat it. In fact, sometimes you don't even need Greek word, just read another version.
Deborah, Satan. Satan has more time for money. Left to him, he wants you to have money so that you don't serve God. I mean, to have plenty so much that, that will take your attention away. That's what you want. Or, so little, that that's what you'll be chasing. Is that is the extreme that he wants. You think Satan is bothered whether you have cash? That guy has more serious jobs. Me, myself, I know. Hallelujah. How did you get it? So, you don't just pass something from generation to generation without rightly dividing. You must be diligent to every Bible subject. How many of you have seen now that all is baptism by water is overestimated? Eh? Overestimated. Because the person that started it already told you when it should end. He says, when you see him, the one that baptized by the Spirit, forget all these ones. John is long dead. He's long dead. Why are you still exalting what he asked you to abolish? And so we close with Peter's admonition, 1 Peter 3, where we got the title of this teaching. 1 Peter 3, turn your Bible there. Learn something! Let me start from verse 20. Where to go? Which sometime were disobedient. When was the locked offering of God waiting in the days of Noah? While the heart was different. Wherein a few, that these 8 souls were what? By water. How were they saved? By baptism? In fact, anti-baptism. They were saved by the ark. Have you? He says they were saved by water. Of course, because the water was lifting the ark, as it were. Verse 21. The like figure, anti to porn. That is, water is now a like figure. Again, anti to porn, an example. Have you? So it is not the reality. I use that word antitopon. It means there's a real thing. I'm just using this as an example. That makes sense? It's a figure. Imagine passing your mock, Waek mock, and then the view of the Waek didn't show up. You say, what? I already have a one in the mock. I already have a one in the mock. They already gave me a one. If one of the students did that, what will you say? And then he comes back for his Waek certificate. He said, give me my certificate. From where? The mock, I will pay that for you now. Let's see, it's good. I will take you this one. Hallelujah. You don't pass mock and fail the real exam. Baptism by water is a mock. It's not even a mock. It's a water. The light figure, an example. It's not it. It's just showing us how it should be. You know, say, whereunto baptism does now what? Eh? It does now save us. What Peter put that explanation there. Because I wonder how we would have exegeted it. He says baptism now saves us. Imagine you stop there. We have explained it the same way. But many will not agree. I don't believe. He said baptism. He's not believing. He didn't say believing now saves us. He said baptism, 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 bam, baptism. That's what he said. Look at it now. Look at it. See, here my God. You have come now. I've seen it. Baptism, I accept what you say. He said baptism now saves us. Please, can we read together? What is now said after? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But what? The answer of a good conscience by what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So there are two kinds of baptism. There's the one that puts away the filth of the flesh. What do you call that one? Eh? Baptism by. He says there's now the one that is in his name. And he says now, the resurrection. There's one that is now in his name. So there are two kinds of baptisms. There's the one that puts away the filth of the flesh. Oh, it's so good. There's a figure. Peter said the one that we see, right? He says the baptism that now saves is the one of the answer of a good conscience to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The answer of a good conscience. Is that saying yes to the gospel? Eh? Is that believing in the gospel? That is the baptism announcing. So we have the real baptism. Every believer in Christ has the original kind of baptism. The real one. The very, very true one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look for me. A man can be baptized with water, and that's all he has. He's not saved. He's just baptized with water. The real kind of baptism is what? Eh? Is the spirit baptism, right? So there'll be water baptism,
and there will be spirit baptism. Let's look at Titus 3. Let's go with this. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the flesh. But after that, the kindness and love of God and Savior towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He has what? He has saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how he saved us. Again, the washing of regeneration is the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the way he cleansed our hearts. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 6, as we can go, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, idolaters, effeminate, nor have business of the same with mankind, not thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Can we verse 11 together? And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of Jesus. And by what? You are washed by the name and by the Spirit. How about that? Washed by the name. Again, what's the name? Eh? It's what he did for us. In his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and also in ascension. He says you are washed by that. That's what washed you. We are washed in his name. He says by the Spirit of the Lord. That's how we are washed. That's how we are washed. There's a true washing. There's a diverse kind of washing. Where people just get into the river and then they do all of stuff. I told you, you get baptized every day. You stay under the shower. Don't even sing why you do baptized. Yeah, I love you. Is that baptism too? More than anything, I love you. I used to have a friend like that. You can stay under the shower for 2 hours. You sing your song. I say you have done an album. Why pick on that? Let us go and bath. We that we know we get out in 5 minutes. Let us enter. Hallelujah. He gets baptized for long. Some of you for short. But there's a real baptism. Hallelujah. He's not even washing away of the sins of the flesh. It's in the Spirit. It's in his name. So the rebaptism, eyes cannot see. Eyes cannot see. Eyes cannot see. Ephesians 5. Eleven something. Such for some of you. But you are washed. You are washed. You are washed. Ephesians 5. Verse 24. As a subject, as a church is subject to Christ. Wives are subject to your own husbands and everything. Husbands love your wives and as Christ love the church and give himself for it. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. By the word. Look at that verse 25. He already explains how we did that cleansing. He gave himself. That's his work. That's his name. So in the giving of himself, he washed us. In the giving of himself, he cleansed us. And then we receive that by the word. We receive that by faith in the message. We receive that when we believe the gospel. Hallelujah. How many kinds of baptisms do we have? Eh? How many kinds of baptisms do we have?
There's just one. He's a baffling spirit. Every other one is a counter. Hallelujah. John did his own. There's one that you just gonna wash cups. It's a kind of baptism. But the real kind of baptism is just one. It's not water and Jesus. It's not water. It's not water and what it is. It's not communion and what it is. It's not circumcision and what it is. It is what it is and what it is. Hallelujah. It is what it is and what it is, Lord. And you know that sacrifice is in my heart today. It's in my heart. I am washed, I'm baptized, I'm sanctified, I'm justified, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. In Ephesians 1, Paul says you are blameless. That's what he said. He's talking about the manager and he said, you are without guilt. That's what he said. You are not guilty. Such you are you. But you are washed. You are washed. The man in Christ is forgiven of his sins. 100% forgiven. Not because of what he has done. It's Jesus that wrought the work. Every Christian must know this. It's a basic of Christian faith. That salvation comes by believing in Jesus. He is the Savior, not you. He is the baptizer, not your pastor. I've never had even baptized anybody before. And I don't think I will with water. I have never. What is your record? One of the advantages of being young. And getting the word early enough. I've never baptized water. I am better than Paul in that regard, yeah? Are they joking? Hallelujah. There's a real kind of baptism. And you must practice it. You must practice that baptism every day. If the word of God says I'm washed, then I acknowledge I'm washed. That's what I see. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm sanctified. That's what he said. And so I act this. I act on the word. I act on the word. If the word says I'm sanctified, then I live sanctified. How about that? If the word of God says I'm washed, I act washed. Hallelujah. You know, maybe there's a part of my life. There's a part of my life. I got things to soak with Iko. There's no part of your life like that. Where God is dwelling is cleansed. Where God is dwelling is washed. And I am the Father's house. I am that glorious house. Hallelujah. I am the house of His glory. I am the Father's dwelling place. You know, I'm God's mobile address. Hallelujah. I'm a moving temple. You know, that heaven and earth in one place. Heaven and earth in one place. I'm a moving temple. Hallelujah. My cup is full, running over. Yeah, I'm cleansed. I'm sanctified. I'm blessed of God. Hallelujah. I don't want another life. This is the life I want. I don't seek another life. I want this one, this cleansed one, this sanctified one. Not the one running about looking for baptisms. Not the one looking to be cleansed of God. Not the one from one river to another river. Maybe that baptism, that one is not authentic. Just in the beat of the loose heaven. No, I can't lose heaven. I was born with heaven. You will know. Last, you will know. He was right. He was born with heaven. I was born with heaven. It's not where I'm going to. It's not a goal. I'm saying it. It's not a goal. It's not a goal. You know the goal? You know the goal? The Spirit of God in all the earth. Men saved all around.
the gospel tribe in every nation. That's the goal, not heaven. Yeah, heaven is where we are sent from. Heaven is the one that sent us. Heaven is where we are. Only a man from heaven can say he wants to take over the world for the Jesus. And that's why we are here. Heaven is not the goal. So stop running around seeking baptisms. There are two kinds of baptisms. There's the one that will wash away a few from the flesh. There's the one that saves, that gives eternal life. I think you know the real one.